Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Jim, you know what they say about Grand Rapids, right?
Yeah, it's pretty good. Okay, Patrick, we are going to start off this episode with a beer. How about that?
Sounds good to me. Stereo crack.
A Goose Island IPA.
Goose Island IPA. Solid beer.
We probably shouldn't say their name because they sponsor some other podcast?
I think they might. Yeah. They have a close relationship with another podcast with two people talking.
That's not what we're drinking.
Yeah, no, we're not.
Okay, one of my favorite things about doing this show, besides, you know, the refreshments, is we have just the best listeners. Don't we have the best listeners?
Absolutely. I think, Jim, we're getting close to our ultimate goal of not having to appear on this show at all.
it's getting closer all the time.
It'll be great.
Because today we are featuring one of our listeners, Keith Jacobson.
Awesome.
He is a supporter of the show in many ways, but one particular way is through our Patreon account. And he has donated at the level that guarantees him regular appearances on the show once every 3 months.
Perfect. I love that.
We'll have him on.
Yes.
He gets to pick the topic, and we'll talk about whatever he wants to talk about, and you guys get to enjoy all of that. So this is Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And with us is Keith Jacobson.
Yes, I'm Keith Jacobson from Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Yahoo!
Out there in Grand Rapids. So before we get to the topic of your choosing, let's just hear a little bit about your story, Keith. So are you originally from Grand Rapids?
I am not. I grew up in a suburb of Detroit, a little town called Northville. Actually, in between Detroit and Patrick's home, a birthplace of Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Right, so, that's right.
Directly in between there. So, I've moved around quite a bit. I lived out in Seattle for a while. Also lived in Chicago suburbs for about 10 years, and now we've been here for about 3 years. So,
okay.
Yes.
And what is Grand Rapids like?
It's a great place. You know, it's a small enough city that you kind of it's easy to get around. We joke around that it's 15 minutes to get around to anywhere you want to go. Coming from Chicago, where we lived in the far northwest suburbs, a town called Huntley, if you wanted to go to downtown Chicago, it was about an hour, hour and a half. You never knew. So it's nice that it's close and 15 minutes away. We have great breweries that are here, Founders, of course, being the biggest, great restaurants, and actually a really cool music scene that's here. So yeah, we get a lot of shows. We have Van Andel Arena that's here, and they pull in a lot of bigger acts there. Saw Kiss there earlier this year. Woo! On their farewell tour. Also saw Elton John on his farewell tour.
Oh, wow.
I'm not sure how they're going to book the place when everybody's done with all their farewell tours. That's going to be troubling. And we also have about 5 minutes from my house, a venue called Frederick Meyer Gardens. And I think I hear you guys talk about Wolf Trap some. It's mm-hmm. similar. It's an outdoor venue, although I think Wolf Trap's probably bigger. This holds about 1,900 people.
Oh, yeah.
And you bring your own chair, you can bring your own food in, and they've got, and then, of course, they sell the beer there. So it's a really cool venue. They get some great folks there. I've seen some great shows there in the last three summers that we've been here, and have tickets to a lot of shows this summer. So, we really like it. It's a great, great little city. And then the other secret is it's really only 2 hours away to Detroit and, you know, 2.5 to 3 hours to Chicago. So if you want to go to an event, say somebody was just playing there, it's very easily accessible to get to either of those two markets. So.
Or like maybe if you're me, you want to go to a Tigers game.
There you go.
You can do that, mm-hmm. right?
So and there, that's great. This year, Jim, there's plenty of tickets available. No lack of them.
Are you rubbing it in?
I'm at the gate.
Believe me, I'm a Tigers fan. Okay. I love them, but I just know it's going to be a rough another 3 or 4 years.
It is.
It was a fun run that they had starting in 2006 there for seven, 8 years.
And they got so close and just couldn't quite make it.
Unfortunately, I think I'm the jinx. I have attended two World Series games now, and they have lost both of them.
Ooh,
so wow. I will no longer attend the World Series. So
I got a couple
I'll leave it to you.
All right.
So,
I'll work on it.
One other fun fact I wanted to point out about Grand Rapids is, according to the latest Arbitron ratings, You are the most listened to podcast in Grand Rapids.
Yes, I think that's right.
And I know this is your most popular market for
the podcast.
It is.
So. It is. I think if we did a live event in Grand Rapids, we would pack the place, right?
Yeah,
like maybe that
would be
that amphitheater you're talking about.
That's right. We could easily do that outside. And I think that that's where we're going to kick off the summer tour whenever that happens. May not be this summer.
Not this summer.
It will be the first
summer.
Yeah, that's right.
Or maybe in some alternate universe.
Yeah.
There are a couple of things. I got to get back to what he was saying here. One is, it is my dream in life that someday I will live in a place without traffic. That is number one.
Right.
That sounds glorious, doesn't it?
One thing we do have, though, I don't want to make it sound like utopia. We do have construction. We have winter and construction season. So, yes.
That's particularly true in the Midwest, where you have those winters that just cause, like, potholes everywhere.
Yeah, you got to fix the roads.
Yes. You're leading me down so many paths here, Keith. This is great. I will tell you a quick story about my mother. I think I'm safe in here. I don't think she listens to the show. One of my favorite things about her is this. She will complain about the state of the roadways, and how they're in disrepair and so many potholes and all of that. And then she'll complain about construction.
Fixing the potholes.
Right. So which way is it? Which would you rather have, Mom?
Mom.
Yeah. Okay. And then I set you up, Keith, and you and you missed something here. So I'm gonna have
I'm gonna
pretend that I'm you, and then Patrick will ask me a question and I'll answer it. Okay. Ready?
Okay.
So ask me, what's it like in Grand Rapids? It's grand.
There it is. Never heard that one before.
Okay.
Well, I'm all set for my next appearance in 3 months. I'll know the answer.
There you go. We'll also have a drum for a rim shot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Very good. Well, thank you very much for being on with us.
Yes. Thank you for inviting me. And while I have the chance, thanks to both of you I know it's a lot of work and, you know, your show is very enjoyable, obviously, for a lot of us in the community. And, you know, I do a lot of driving around the Midwest. And so I enjoy that. I can listen every day and have something new. So.
Beautiful. Thank you, Keith. And, you know, as Paul Trapp would say, it's nice to have those sort of human voices sometimes when you're doing things like that. So it's cool that we're a part of that.
Keith, how did you discover our show?
Well, I discovered the old show.
Yeah.
This is a common answer.
Yes, it is.
And then I just followed you, of course.
Okay. So, yes. Well, we appreciate that so much.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So, as we mentioned, Keith, you get to pick the topic today. So what would you like to talk about?
Wingtip Slope.
Wingtip Slope.
Good
choice.
We want
to do the complete discography.
Thank you.
Track by track.
Excellent choice.
Okay. Yeah.
There's no limit to the time limit of my appearance, is
that's
there?
Right. We could be here for a while.
For that topic, there is.
That's right. 1 minute.
That's right. No, but seriously, comedy aside, what would you like to talk about, Keith?
So I wanted to kind of talk about, you know, a little bit of a phenomenon and two bands in particular, and I'm sure you guys will have some examples, but bands that are huge in other countries, but don't quite have that same level of followers, I guess, in the U.S. and trying to figure out why that is. And so the two bands that I was referring to would be the Tragically Hip, of course, from Kingston, Ontario, up in Canada. And then the other band was Elbow out of Manchester, England. Both of them are bands that in their home countries, they play large arenas. You know, Tragically Hip would play hockey arenas all throughout Canada, selling it out. So playing to 15, 17, 20,000 people a night. You know, growing up outside of Detroit, as I mentioned, they would come over and play in Detroit at a Cobo or the Palace of Auburn Hills and, you know, a big arena and sell that out. But that's because it's a border town. And I think when you shy away from the borders with the Tragically Hip, you know, they didn't have quite that same following. And so I actually, about 10 years ago, I had to look it up in the Thank God for Setlist FM.
Yeah.
But I saw the Tragically Hip. I was down in Atlanta on a business trip, and I saw them at the Variety Playhouse, which is a 1,000-person capacity venue.
Mm-hmm.
And to have a band, I guess, that plays in a venue, again, playing to 20,000 fans, and then they can go, you know, down south into the U.S., and they're only playing to 1,000 fans. It's just kind of, I don't know if I can figure out completely how that happens, because I love the Tragically Hip. I heard, you know, a lot of them. Again, growing up in Detroit, we got Canadian radio. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And one of the things with Canadian radio is that they mandate you have to play X minutes of Canadian artists every hour.
Right.
So I mean, I heard a lot of Tragically Hip, and I love them. And so it was, you know, great band to see live, great show. And then it's just sort of when you go to Atlanta and you see them play to 1,000 people, it's just a little baffling, I guess, of why that is. So, but it's also a great opportunity to see a great band in a small venue.
There you go.
I'd relate it to maybe seeing somebody like, I don't know, on today's standards, a Vampire Weekend at a small mm-hmm. Club of that sort. So it's a great opportunity to see a great band. It's just, you know, trying to figure out why that happens. Same thing with Elbow. Again, they're from Manchester. I think they're City fans. I'm sorry, Patrick.
Yeah, I think they are too. Yeah.
You know, they, even on a bigger scale, I believe that they played Glastonbury. I think they've been, if not a headliner, one of the main acts has played. And so you're talking about a festival that has 175,000 people there, or they're playing the O2 Arena in London, and there's 20,000 people there. So, again, so I've seen them here in the States at the Chicago House of Blues, which holds, I don't know, 1,500 people, and then St. Andrew's Hall in Detroit that holds about 1,000 people. Again, great opportunity to see a great band in a small venue. I don't know why they can't make it big here in the States.
It's so interesting. I'm just looking here at their discography, Keith, and they have issued a total of 7 albums now, 7 studio albums. Every single one of them has gone gold or platinum in the UK. They've all been top 15 hits. The last 2 have been number ones. And the highest they ever got on the U.S. chart was their 6th album, Takeoff, The Takeoff and Landing of Everything, which reached number 83. And many of them did not even chart.
Yeah.
So it's incredible.
I mean, I think, you know, when you talk about a band like Elbow, my timing's right, I think they came out around the same time as a band like Coldplay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Coming out of the same country. And look at Coldplay. I mean, they're gigantic throughout the world. And then you have a band like Elbow that I think is just as talented, if not more talented. Again, that's can't crack into the market like the U.S.
So I think Patrick may have more insight into this, the music industry, than I do. I don't know. I can only sort of speculate that a lot of it just depends on how well you get a good promoter in the United States,
yeah.
Right? Or,
mm-hmm.
you know, I mean, I think we all agree it's a misnomer that it's not true that just talent alone carries the day. We know
no,
so many
right.
bands,
yeah.
right?
And
we would say, like, they should have been bigger based
exactly.
on their talent
mm-hmm.
and abilities. And then others where you'd be like, why are they so popular? So
yeah.
there's a lot more that goes into the mix there. But I think a lot of it, it's very true, is just what connections do you have, right?
Yeah.
Do you get the right people behind you?
And how hard your label's willing to work to break your
right.
band in America, because it's not a cheap thing, especially coming from a country like Britain where it's obviously a lot smaller. I mean, the cost of touring across the United States and making it the hard way is not easy. And that's kind of what the Hip tried to do. You know, they tried
right.
to go on the road and just build a grassroots following, and just got to the point, like Keith was saying, that they ended up at 1,000-seaters or, you know, 1,500-seaters, and that's as far as they were able to build that band.
I think what's interesting to me about them, from an American perspective, is I think we lump them in with just a lot of alternative slash indie rock bands and think like they're at that level and that makes sense. Like that's the kind of band they are and it makes sense. And what we don't realize is how huge they are in Canada, right?
It's playing just Bell Center and all
that. It's not so much that they underachieved here as much as you see how much they overachieved in a way in Canada, right?
It's interesting. So, but also they recorded, you know, a couple albums at least in New Orleans. They had New Orleans Is Sinking, which is a very kind of American song early on in their career. But I don't know, with the hip, it seems like a lot of times they're perceived as being so Canadian that it's hard to, you know, a lot of the references are to Canadian places and towns and, you know, things like that. But
I was going to suggest that I do think, you know, like you take the hip and they have a song like Bob Cajun, which is a place somewhere in Canada. Yep. I don't know where exactly it is, but of course, we've never heard of Bob Cajun before.
Yeah.
Left your house this morning about a quarter after nine. Could have been the Willie Nelson, could have been the one. When I left your house this morning, it was a little loud.
And then when it comes to British acts, you know, we're again, we grew up in it at a time past the British invasion. So it just seems natural that British acts would make it in the United States. Right. I mean, some of the, you know, obviously the biggest bands of the world are British.
Exactly.
You know, so no big deal. But you got to remember, too, we were talking not too long ago, I think. I get it all mixed up. But we were talking about The Clash at one point not too long ago. I think we probably always talk about The Clash.
Yeah,
but anyway, you got to remember that their debut album didn't get released in the United States.
Didn't put it out.
And they were on a major label, but the label thought it was too British. Yeah. Americans aren't going to go for this, right?
Right.
And it was an import for a long time, and it was only by virtue of the becoming like the biggest selling import in U.S. history that they finally released
a different version of it.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, so even into the late 70s, there was still this feeling that like just because you're a big, you know, you achieve success in the U.K. does not necessarily translate to the United States. And I came up with a couple of examples. That one is, I think this is true with some of the Britpop bands, right? You know, like we know Oasis and Blur are probably the big two, but there was also like Pulp and Suede and those bands that I think were much bigger in the UK than they ever were over here. Am I right about that?
I think so too. Yeah, and I think of bands like Manic Street Preachers or the Stereophonics that also had pretty big followings in the home countries, but not the same thing here. They were a pretty niche band, despite Wayne Rooney having a Stereophonics lyric tattooed on his body.
And then to me,
it's a true story.
All right. To me, probably the biggest example, and this is a name that still is like most people don't even really know in the United States, is Cliff Richard.
Yes.
Cliff Richard is one of like the biggest stars ever in England.
Oh,
in the UK. Had like a decades long career of like hit albums and hit singles, one of the best selling musicians ever.
Yeah.
In the UK, and he like barely, I'm looking here, he did have two top 10 singles in the US in the 70s, Devil Woman and We Don't Talk Anymore, but he never had a hit album in the United States.
Like
you look at all these albums, none of them really charted, and he never really was able to gain ground over here for whatever reason, yet he was just for like a long period of time too, had a long career over in the UK of huge success.
And the other one that comes immediately to my mind is Slade. In the 70s, they had like 17 consecutive top 10 or top 20 singles and never broke here in the United States at all until like way late in their career. And that was kind of a fluke, you know? So even then it wasn't that big. They even moved to the United States in the mid 70s to try to make it here and
still
couldn't do a thing.
And it wasn't until another band covered their work that anybody really paid any attention.
That's right. Thank you, Quiet Riot.
Yeah.
So you think I'm singing out of time when it makes me money. And I don't know why. And I don't know why. And
the inverse thing. I don't know if you guys have thought of this either. What about American bands that have achieved more success in elsewhere?
Other countries, yeah.
And I know there's been some examples of that, but to me, here's a prime example of that would be the Ramones.
Oh, there you go. Uh-huh.
The Ramones, you know, despite, again, a decades-long career and much beloved band, an important band, never were even able to sell like arenas, like, you know, right. in the United States. You know, theaters would be about as big as they ever got.
Even at the end of their career, they're playing like the Bayou in D.C., which is, you know, 800 people or something.
But go down to South America and they could play stadiums.
Yeah. Right. Like in Brazil.
Isn't that crazy? Brazil and Argentina, they were huge. Right. They were enormous.
It's bizarre.
Isn't that weird?
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess something along the similar lines is going back further is Jimi Hendrix, right? He didn't break in the U.S. until he went to Britain.
That's a great point.
And started to break there, right? Mm-hmm. And then came back to the U.S.
Yeah, so. That's right. Signed over there and yeah, you know, basically had to be sort of reintroduced to America at the Monterey Pop Festival to kind of launch his career. And I'll say this, I'm reading a book about the Tragically Hip right now, and I'm almost finished, and I'll talk about that on an upcoming book nook. But the Hip, you know, are just an incredible rock and roll band, you know, no qualifications. I mean, that song Bob Cajun has the line, the first four lines, I believe, are, I left your house this morning, 9:15, could have been the Willie Nelson, but it could have been the wine. I mean, that's rock and roll at its best right there, no matter where it's coming from. So I don't know what to say about the Hip. What a great rock and roll band. And I really never really got into them until I really started reading this book and have not really gone deep into their catalog as I am now. But
well, I don't know if you've watched it, Patrick, but there is a there's a documentary that was done about their last tour.
Yeah, I haven't watched it yet.
Yeah, called Long Time Running.
Right.
And it was on Netflix. I'm not sure. I watched it a while ago. I'm not sure it's still on there. But I strongly recommend that.
I got to watch that.
To you and then the other listeners that, you know, maybe aren't as familiar with the Hip, or if they are but just haven't seen it. It's a really powerful documentary, of course, following, you know, Gord Downie.
Yeah.
By the way, how about a band with two guys named Gord?
Yeah, that's strange.
That's very Canadian, I think.
Oh, so. It really is, yeah.
But you know, it really follows him through the sickness and then, you know, what he had to do to kind of get back in shape to be able to do this final tour. And it gets very emotional. So I will tell you that. So,
I would imagine. You know, right at the end of it now in the book, and it's hard to get through, you know, how beloved he was and what he, you know, actually put himself through. So
yeah, no, I strongly recommend checking it out after you finish the book.
Got to do it.
I got to tell you guys one little bit of trivia here.
Okay.
Cliff Richard trivia.
Oh no.
Listen to this. This just makes my point even more. I'm reading this right here. His debut album was 1959.
Okay? Wow.
Cliff Sings, it was called. And then listen to this sentence. Richard released his 103rd album in 2018.
Holy.
So he's still out there working it.
He's made 103.
Here's a trivia question. Who has more albums, Cliff Richard or Guided by Voices?
That's right. Well,
that's a great question. It's going to take a while for someone to add those up. Unbelievable.
So that's the thing. This guy has had an enormous career, and almost no Americans know who he is.
That is crazy. Right. I had no idea he was still alive and out there working. Yeah.
I know mainly because he was referenced a lot on The Young Ones.
Oh,
remember
yeah.
that TV show?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
One of the characters really liked Cliff Richard.
Yeah. So.
All right. All right. Anything else, Keith?
I think that'll do it. I'll save everything for my next appearance in 3 months.
Excellent.
When I tell you that Grand Rapids is grand.
Thank you. All right. Thanks very much.
Thanks,
for
Keith.
Everything.
Yeah, absolutely, Keith. Man.
Thank you, Jim and Patrick.
Keep spreading the word out there in Grand Rapids.
Yeah, because, we can only get bigger.
We'll do, but we'll just further make it the largest market for rock in the suburbs.
It's weird. We're only big in Grand Rapids. Other towns and states in the U.S., we've created a microcosm of this topic.
Yeah.
We sell out arenas in Grand Rapids.
That's right. Elsewhere, it's
a Grand
crickets,
Rapids
right?
Thing,
yeah. Okay.
In Canada or the UK, I can't say that. You have, I think, listeners in both places.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, it's funny. You said it's, for whatever reason, we're doing really well in Canada.
Yeah,
that's
nice. Mm-hmm.
I don't know why that is exactly.
I don't
Because
either.
We're so polite.
That's what it is. Yes. Yeah. Very polite. We don't allow any of those.
And drink a lot of beer.
There you go. What else do you need?
All right. Again, thank you very much. Thanks, and Keith. Keith, you mentioned this before, but how often should people listen to Rock in the Suburbs?
Why, every day, of course.
Thank you for that. And one way people can correspond with us and tell us about things they're interested in, music-wise or other, is to call the Suburban Party Line. That number is 612-440-1984.
Yes,
very
sir.
Good. Thank
well
you.
Well done.
You can also email rock@suburbspod.com, or you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all those at suburbspod. And you can be like Keith and help us with financial goings on mm-hmm. of the show. You can support the show at patreon.com/suburbspod. And there are different levels of support. And if you support the show at the level Keith did, which is called the guest star
right
tier, mm-hmm. then you get to be on the show and you get to pick the topic. And it's fun, right, Keith?
It's great.
Oh, it's a lot of fun. So I'm trying to save up for the, I forget what the top tier is called, VIP or Music Bigwig or something like that.
Oh, the
like
Music
that.
Mogul tier. Yeah,
the Music right. Mogul, that's it. I'm trying to save up for that, but I'm not sure my wife will allow that expenditure. She already really gives me a hard time about all of the vinyl that I've been buying lately. So I'm not sure she's going to go for that.
Yeah. Probably not.
So, I don't remember what the prices. People can go check that out, but we haven't any takers on it yet.
It's
but
pretty
the,
high up
the
there.
Deal there is if you contribute at that level, that we will come to your town.
That's right.
And do a live
we're serious
recording
yeah.
of the podcast
right.
in your home or the venue of your choice, whatever you can arrange. Mm-hmm. That's on you, but mm-hmm. we'll do it in your house if you want.
Yep.
And we'll probably get some live music and Patrick's gonna grill for you, right?
Absolutely.
That part
I
of
will
it?
Grill. Yeah, yeah. I'll cut your grass.
We will do it up, man.
That's right. I'll bring my lawnmower and trimmer.
So people check that out. Thanks a lot. We'll talk to you again in roughly 3 months, Keith. But to everyone else, we'll talk to you guys tomorrow. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And with us was...
Keith Jacobson.
All right. Talk to you later. Bye.
I've had nothing but bad luck since the day I saw the cat at my door. So I came into you, sweet lady, answering your mystic.
So now we have separate studio setups. I'm at Patrick's house now, and mm-hmm. it's got his own little setup, and it's different.
Very
so we're
different.
We're still kind of working through some of that.
Yeah, it's proving how good our original Zoom setup is, I think, more than anything else.
Yeah.